Hi, friend, and welcome to the Brand Strategy Podcast, a show created to equip you with the inspiration, encouragement, and clarity you need to build the brand of your dreams. I'm your host, Bonnie Bakhtiari, brand designer, strategist, and founder of The Illume Retreat. From sustainable strategy to heartfelt encouragement, each episode is designed to equip you with the tools you need to chase after your dreams. Because you deserve a brand that empowers you to do what you love, connects with your dream clients, and offers a deep sense of fulfillment along the way. So grab a cup of coffee and join me on this journey, won't you? Hi, friends, and welcome back to the Brand Strategy Podcast. This week, I'm so excited to be chatting about how to confidently and easily make big decisions with Kate Krocco, who is an incredible mindset and confidence coach, author, and a licensed psychotherapist based in New York. Kate, thanks so much for coming on the show today. I am so, so grateful to be able to have this conversation with you.
Thank you, Bonnie. I'm so pumped to chat.
I would love to have the opportunity to just introduce you a little bit more to my listeners. Before we hit the recording on this conversation today, we're talking a little bit about your book, which, fun fact, at the time of recording, today is actually Kate's official launch day for her book, which is titled Thinking Like a Boss: Uncover and Overcome the Lies Holding You Back from Success. And so, Kate, first of all, congratulations on your book launch. And I'm so interested in hearing a little bit more about yourself. So if you don't mind sharing,
sure.
Feel free to take it away.
Thank you. Well, I have a really quick, funny story to share with you because I think it's like a perfect example of staying in the right mindset and always moving forward, even when things are discouraging. This morning, I was so excited. I couldn't wait. I've been counting down the days to go to Barnes & Noble and actually see my book in the store. Got in there, ran up the escalator, went to the business section, looked all over, and it wasn't there.
Oh, no.
Uh-huh. And I went and asked the lady, and she said, they never got shipped to Barnes & Noble. Like, they're somewhere in the Barnes & Noble warehouse, and they never made it to the store. And, you know, I think of myself way back, you know, 10 years ago, if something like that happened, it would have changed the trajectory of my day. You know, my day would have really sucked and I would have been in a sad mood and I just wouldn't have been able to keep things into perspectives. And now, after working on my mindset and, you know, doing this coaching for a while, I'm just able to say, you know, it's like, it stinks because I wanted to see it there this morning, but it will be there probably in a couple days or next week, and people can still get their books on Amazon. So no biggie. But again, in the past, so I guess we'll start way back when I was in pretty much growing up, I had an eating disorder and didn't actually find out until I was in school to be a therapist. I was in graduate school. And I was sitting in a class and the professor was going over the DSM diagnosis for eating disorders and realized that, you know, that had been my issue my whole life, and issue with anxiety and sadness. And really at that moment, just sort of took charge and said, you know, if I want to be a good therapist someday, like, I have to figure out this myself. I need to really work through this myself. And was able to find healing pretty quickly, actually. And through that, you know, started overcoming other obstacles and went on to work in hospitals and clinics for several years and had a series of events lead up to me believing that maybe possibly I could start a therapy practice. And I will say for people listening that, you know, that little seed was planted. And at first I doubted if I could, you know, be my own business owner. And I just decided though to keep walking forward and keep moving and taking little steps. And all of those little steps ended up turning into the business. And before I knew it, I had a thriving business and was able to leave my 9-to-5 and just focus on that. And really felt like this was it. Like, I've completed what I wanted to achieve in life. And now I will just work in this practice the rest of my life. And I then had other business owners, in addition to therapists, just asking, hey, how did you start a business so young? how did you get this going? Like, how did you work through all of those sort of mindset and limiting beliefs that you might tell yourself, and started doing some consulting and actually helping people around that? And then little by little, it sort of turned into this business of mindset and confidence coaching. And then to where it is today with me writing books. So again, for someone who's listening and maybe just starting their business or in your business and really dreaming about something bigger, like maybe it's hiring employees or franchising mm-hmm. your business or whatever that might be, like running a retreat, just take those little steps. Like, don't commit yourself. You don't have to say like, I'm going to do this. I think there's a lot of power in being able to say that, but if you're not ready to say that, it's okay. And what's most important is just taking those little steps every day.
I love that advice. And I think that I know that I can definitely resonate with parts of your story. I feel like those who are listening to this episode will also be able to really relate to so many different parts of your story. But that advice that you just shared about being brave enough to just take the little steps, I think that sometimes we think that in order to experience grand results, in order to achieve a big vision, it takes some kind of big action. Like, we have to, in order to like open the business or launch the retreat or start growing the team, we have to, you know, go out and do this like big dramatic thing. But what you were sharing about just taking those little steps, realistically, when I look back on my own journey as an entrepreneur with everything that I've done, it didn't require some big, you know, dramatic gesture or step or action on my part. It was literally as simple as putting one foot in front of the other. And I just think that that's something that maybe we don't give those little steps enough credit.
Totally. Yeah. And I think we often think that we need to be prepared and have all the right steps in place in order to move forward. But it's really just doing it brave or doing it afraid. And then when you do that and you create the action, it builds momentum to make all those little steps come together.
I completely agree with that. That's something where, and this is something that I believe you also teach this. I think you've mentioned this in your book, but also with your coaching students, you usually encourage them, kind of challenge them a little bit to start before they're ready, right?
Yeah.
I can completely resonate with that. I think that it sounds very intimidating, especially if you're on the, you know, kind of the side where you haven't, you know, built up quite the courage or the confidence yet to take that first step, to move forward in that direction. That is such a big leap. But that idea that you were just sharing about taking that first step, building that momentum, giving yourself essentially like the permission and the space to step into something even before you feel like you're 100% ready, because really, are we ever going to be 100% ready?
Never.
It really gives us so much opportunity to take those dreams from just these dreams that we're growing and that we're holding close to our hearts to actual reality. One thing that kind of came to mind, you were just talking about that, was this idea of how we kind of can get inside our own heads. We can kind of get in our own way, especially when it comes to taking that first step. And I know today we're talking about how to confidently make big decisions. And there's something in my experience as a strategist and a coach, there's something that I keep seeing time and time again with my industry friends, with my own clients, where especially if we have a big decision that is facing us in our businesses, we can get really inside our heads. We start sweating the small stuff. We start overthinking everything. In your experience, I know that you work through so much great stuff to help women overcome self-limiting beliefs. So why do you think we get inside our heads so much? We start overthinking things and we get stuck sweating the small stuff when it comes to making a decision.
I think a big part of it is our fear, either our fear of failure or our fear of success. And I think we don't always evaluate the success piece. We only think, oh, I'm afraid and I'm putting this off and I'm not getting started because I must be scared of failing. And we don't think, oh, like, how will my life change if actually I succeed? Because I think that is really scary for a lot of people too.
I totally understand that. I think that when we think about the idea of succeeding, it's something where sometimes I think it's easy for us to feel like maybe I'll be more successful than I think I'll be. Or, you know, it's kind of the opposite of that thought of failing. Okay, so if we're going to try something and we fail, yes, that is a very legitimate fear. That can look a very certain way. But also that fear of being too successful, of achieving a certain level of success and maybe not being able to handle it. I feel like that's also something that can really kind of get inside people's minds and hold them back a bit.
Totally. I think that so many people have fears around time, and that's one of the chapters in the book. And often it's hard to visualize success because if I don't have time today to complete all of the things that I need to do in order to, you know, make this dream happen or make my business run, how will I ever do it if I'm at that level of success? And that's the lie that we tell ourselves. And I told myself that, you know, in the beginning, and I think that we sort of never reach that level, like that level of success. I like to actually say that my definition of success is exactly where we are today, because it's really easy, especially for myself and a lot of the ladies I coach, to create the success and then just move on to the next thing. And again, I think it's just really hard for people to visualize, like, how will I handle that if I do get there? And, you know, the time that it takes me to do all of these things now, like, I don't have the time for it. But the more levels of success that you actually get to, the more flexibility you can have in your business. Because that success usually means a little bit more money. And more money equals a little bit more freedom of being able to hire, you know, employees or contractors in your business. And, you know, it's a big shift for people.
Oh, for sure. It's something that's completely new for a lot of people. And especially when you're talking about hitting new levels of success, like, I can only imagine what your own journey has looked like when you went from working with your coaching clients to choosing to write the book. I'm sure that there was probably, you know, some self-limiting beliefs and some mindsets that you also had to work through to go from kind of the work that you've been doing, sort of that like healthy kind of comfy groove that you'd created with that service, to then diving into this kind of next level, the writing the book, like transitioning to that. Is that something that you'd be willing to dive into a little bit?
Yeah, 100%. So that's what held me back from starting to write for a long time. Was, I think what we tend to do is when we look at success, we see it in one way. So when I saw, okay, a successful writer or author, I envisioned someone who is flying around the country for a book tour, someone who is speaking on big stages, someone who was like on the go all the time. And what I told myself was, I'm a new mom. There's no way that I can handle all of that. So there's no way that I can be an author. And it was really funny because I actually had a woman on my podcast who, I forgot exactly what she said, but she was coaching. She decided to coach me on the podcast. And this was the thing that she coached me on. And what she said to me was, which will always stick with me, your view of success is not, like, that's not actually where you're going to be. Like, it takes steps and it takes a lot of time to get to that place. So it's not like you just write a book and then you're being flown all over the country and speaking on all of these stages. Like, you have to work your way up to that. And as soon as I realized that and realized, oh, yeah, this is my first book. So when I see best-selling authors doing that, you know, they've been writing books forever, or they've been flying around speaking forever, or have had their businesses forever. And for me, like, this is just the beginning. So I can make this look however I want to make it. And as soon as I was able to find that freedom and just sort of let that lie go, I was able to start writing the book. And today, you know, I'm not flying around the country. Today's my launch day and I'm home recording this in my daughter's room. I have a friend here who came to visit and stay with me, but it's not what I had envisioned it to be. And this is exactly how it's supposed to be.
That is so beautiful. I find that it's really easy for us to kind of make up these stories in our minds of what life is kind of quote unquote supposed to look like what certain levels of success are supposed to look like, or what, you know, kind of a certain season of life is supposed to look like. And we get so wrapped up. I'm definitely guilty of this.
Yeah.
Like, we get so wrapped up in this that we assume that, like, of course, that's what, you know, kind of comes with the territory. Like, if you're going to, you know, write the book, you're going to, you know, be like jet setting around the world, floating everywhere. If you're going to grow your team, you're going to, you know, have to like put in so much time and energy to manage that team. If you, you know, we just tell ourselves all these stories. And I think that what that does is that robs us unintentionally of the opportunity to carve out what success looks like for ourselves. Like what you were describing to me of what your day looks like today on your book launch day. I don't know. I think that to a lot of people who are listening, that sounds much better. That sounds more less fulfilling than like launching the book and hopping on the plane next thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we just forget that success is not overnight. It's built up day by day. So even the things that I'm doing today on launch day are much different than what I was doing 2 years ago, but I don't feel it because it's like, you know, exercising and working your way up in the weights. Like maybe you start with 2 pounds and then you go to 5, and before you know it, you're lifting 50 pounds and you didn't just do it overnight. So I think that's something to just remember.
Such good advice. So you were talking about how you approached making that big decision of, you know, taking the brave step of starting to write the book. So I know today we're talking about how to confidently and easily navigate those big decisions. So how can we practically and confidently approach actually making a big decision?
Yeah, so I think that we overcomplicate this, and I overcomplicated it forever. And when I was in graduate school, I was trained in a modality called dialectical behavior therapy. And it's a skills-based treatment that focuses a lot on relationships and just life skills. And one exercise that I sort of adapted from dialectical behavior therapy is this decision-making like worksheet that I created. And what I thought was so interesting, because I think that when we're at a crossroads, and oftentimes when we have to make a decision, we feel really paralyzed and we feel stuck and we don't know where to start. And we see things very black and white, like this is the right decision. This is maybe where I should go. This is the wrong decision. I don't know. And, you know, you sort of do like a pros and cons, but I think that your pros and cons are very biased. Like you go into doing a pros and cons already sort of knowing your decision, but not fully feeling confident in it. And I think that's the key, is that when we make a decision, because we can all just make one, but I think it's really important that we walk away knowing that this was the right decision. Like I know that I did the right thing. And this exercise just makes it so simple. And it's like such a no-brainer. Like you look at it and you're like, oh my goodness, like why didn't I think to do this in the past? So I'll just walk our listeners through it real quick. You take a piece of paper, fold it in half, and then fold it in half again. And you'll have 4 little areas on the page. And the top left corner, you're going to put the pros of doing the thing. So let's just say you started a business and you're ready to leave your 9-to-5. So the pros of leaving your 9-to-5. Then the top right corner, the cons of leaving your 9-to-5. So that's the typical pros and cons list that we see. But then below that, bottom left corner, the pros of not leaving my 9-to-5. So just keeping things the way that they are. And then the bottom right corner, the cons of not leaving the 9-to-5. So what would really stink if I stayed here? And I'm just like giving everyone like a minute to just sort of visualize this. And when you can look at all 4 corners, so these essentially, we know like these are the same, they're both the same question, but it's just asking it in a little bit of a different way. And being able to have 4 choices and to see this from a bird's eye view, it really just makes things a lot clearer. And I've used this for decisions that were really small and seemed like it maybe seemed insignificant to people. And I've also made really big decisions. And the funny thing is, sometimes I go into this exercise wanting my decision to be a certain way, but leaving feeling really confident that it's not supposed to be that way. And I think often we make a lot of decisions based off of what we feel other people want for us, or based off of scarcity, or based off of what we think that we should do, or we need to do, or we have to do in life. And we don't always make decisions based off of what exactly we want. And I think this is a great way to figure out what exactly we want. And actually, another reason why we make decisions at times is just our ego. And one of a more recent decision that I made over the summer, I realized I was going into this exercise feeling like I am totally doing this. I'm going to stick with this. And then I left realizing, ooh, I got to check my ego at the door. Like, I was doing that not because of something that was in alignment, but more because of ego. And I think that being able, again, to see all four views of it just really makes those decisions a lot easier.
I love that exercise, and I love that it's so simple. I think that sometimes the most like truly powerful and helpful processes and systems that we can implement sometimes are truly simple. And the beauty of that is I think that they are something that we can easily try and replicate and use over and over and over again. And what really kind of stood out to me about that exercise that you just walked us through is it allows us to continually cultivate, I think, a better relationship with ourselves, in the sense of as we walk through all those pros and cons of, you know, both sides of kind of an argument, like that kind of possibility, it allows us to kind of tap into what we are actually thinking, what we're actually feeling. And like you're talking about it, it can help in a lot of ways even point you very confidently and clearly in a different direction than what you originally thought going into it. So I love that idea. I'm so grateful that you shared that with us. And I think that those who are tuning in today are going to get a lot of use out of that exercise.
Thank you. I use it all the time. I probably use it at least once a month.
I love that. So when you're thinking through, okay, so that's a really easy approach for us to utilize when we are trying to tackle a big decision. But let's kind of back up just like a step or two before that, before we even come to the point where we are making the big decision, like starting the business, leaving the 9-to-5, writing the book. How do we navigate whether to even say yes or no to the opportunity that brings those kinds of decisions? So for example, you know, the opportunity of leaving the 9-to-5. If you leave that 9-to-5, you could, in theory, go work at another, you know, maybe more lenient or more creative 9-to-5. You could, you know, go do something else. You don't necessarily have to start your own business. So what I'm kind of saying there is, how do we navigate whether an opportunity is a good fit for us or not, so that we are really chasing after opportunities that lead us to the big decisions that are going to be more in alignment with what we're looking for?
Yeah, so this is a really simple answer, but it's the hardest answer for anyone to try, and it's getting quiet. I think that we have so much noise around us all the time. Like, you know, I think of myself, even when I'm washing dishes, I have a podcast on, or I'm folding laundry and I'm voxing my friends back and forth. Like, it's very rare that we get quiet time. And I think it's so important, especially when we have opportunities, that we carve out time to just sort of be, whether it's take a walk in nature or just sort of sit there with a blank notebook and just really try to feel and to get connected and to ask yourself the question of, what do I really want? And again, yes, like, this is a great opportunity, but is this really the best opportunity for me? Like, maybe someone, you know, approached you and wants to recruit you for their company, and, you know, you have an opportunity to leave your job. It's a great opportunity, but is it the best opportunity? Is this really what you want? And I think that it's hard for us to figure out what we want. Again, we make decisions based off of what we think that we should. Like, oh, if I pass up that opportunity, like maybe I'll never get it again. Or maybe I'm crazy to pass it up because it's a pay increase. But maybe you really love your job. And yes, you're getting paid less, but you feel like it's really aligned. So I think it's about figuring out like what your best yeses are and learning to be okay with saying no to really great opportunities and also saying no to things that are not in alignment.
That is such beautiful advice. It reminds me of actually a conversation that I was having with my team the other day. I can't remember exactly how this was phrased, but one of my team members said that she received this advice recently that not every opportunity that comes into your life is the right opportunity for you. And it's that idea of we can have beautiful and wonderful and really positive opportunities come across our paths, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we have to go for them. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're the right ones for us and we have to jump on them, because good things, good opportunities, worthwhile experiences can absolutely kind of cross your path. But that doesn't mean that it's going to be equipping you or propelling you any closer to your definition of success, to your definition, kind of, Kate, like you were saying, those best yeses of what will truly move you in the direction of the alignment that you're looking for. So I think that just by you sharing that advice today, that really helps kind of remind us and kind of open our minds up more to this idea that it's okay to say no to things. It's okay to kind of create that space to be quiet and introspective and really reflect on what an opportunity means big picture for us and kind of move forward from there.
Exactly. And I think there's always something better ahead too. My husband and I also do real estate on the side. We have income properties, and there are many times where he's like, oh, we got to bite at this house. You know, this is a great opportunity. And I always remind him, there's always going to be another house for sale. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be another building that will be even nicer, that will be even more profitable. So maybe this is just not the best timing right now. And I think just remembering that when you do say no to even great opportunities, it just allows space for you to say yes to for when that really great opportunity comes in and you know 100% it's in alignment and it's for you.
I'm over here like emphatically nodding my head yes, because that's for those who've been longtime listeners of the podcast, that's absolutely in alignment with really how I view decisions and how I view so much in life and business, where we have this beautiful opportunity, I feel, to truly carve out space for ourselves in what is in true alignment with our definition of success. And when that requires us saying no or us kind of passing up on an opportunity, in my mind, that just creates more space and more possibility for something yes. bigger and better to come along. And I know that that can be a hard mindset to dive into. I was not born with that mindset. That was something that I have cultivated over the years. But it's in my mind, it kind of feels more like living from this place of true possibility and true abundance than from this place of scarcity, where we believe that we only have so many opportunities that we're allotted in life. And so we have to jump on them because they're so few and far between, versus this idea of an infinite number of beautiful, good, fulfilling opportunities that will come your way. It's just a matter of pursuing those best yeses, like you were saying, Kate.
I love that. And I think one other thing is oftentimes we are really frantic to make our decision right away. And I just want to leave listeners with this, is that if you're feeling frantic, that means that something's a little bit out of alignment. Like if you feel like I have to say yes, no, or else I'm going to miss out, or like I need to answer back right away, or this might not work out, that just like sit back, because something is a little bit out of alignment there. I think that we should always believe that we have time to make decisions and we have time to respond back. And that if that thing is really for you, you responding right now or responding tomorrow is not going to make a difference, right? It's still going to be there. Because I can just remember myself doing that back in the day. Like, I have to tell them yes or no today. And sometimes you can tell people maybe. Like, I need a couple weeks to think about this. And I also remember feeling this way in the process of publishing my book and having multiple offers from publishers. And I just look back and I'm like, thank goodness I did not say yes out of scarcity, because I wouldn't have what I have today from a publisher who they're amazing. Mm-hmm. So that was like the most recent thing that that happened to me actually. Yeah.
I really love that story and that perspective, Kate, because I think that it really paints this picture of this idea that we are not on this fixed timeline where we have to kind of keep rushing and rushing and rushing to what's next. Like, we get to take our time. We get to thoughtfully consider opportunities and make decisions. That idea that if we're operating from that kind of frantic, like hectic, kind of like time crunch place where everything has to be done instantly, that in my mind, that's where things get kind of messy. That's where mistakes happen. That's where we overcommit ourselves. We say yes to too many things and we end up regretting it in the long run. So I am such a big fan of that steadier, that more slow approach personally.
I agree.
So one question that I have for you, I love asking this question as we're kind of wrapping up each of the interviews that I do here on the Brand Strategy Podcast, because I think that those who are tuning in, they obviously have received so much advice, so much wisdom from your experience today and from what you shared. But as they're kind of moving forward into that next step, so let's say someone has been listening today who they wanted to kind of dive into this episode because they wanted to explore this idea of confidently and easily making big decisions. So let's say they have been in a season of indecision. They've been overthinking all the things and they're ready to leave that in the past and step into a new season of taking brave action. What kind of encouragement would you share to that entrepreneur?
Today is the most time you'll ever have. This is a little mantra I tell myself all the time. So get started today, because I think often we are so excited, we're ready to take action, and then there's a little bit of fear underneath and we tell ourselves like, oh, I'm a little busy today. You know, I'll work on this tomorrow, or I'll put this off till next week. And I really, truly believe that we have to live with the mindset that today is the most time we're going to have. So we've got to use our time wisely and not hold back and just dive in and just get started.
I love that. Such good advice. Such great encouragement. So Kate, where can people find you? I know that those who are tuning in, they're going to want to know how they can connect with you and where they can find you on the interwebs.
Yeah. So my favorite place to hang out is Instagram. My handle is Kate Crocco, my name. I love me some Instagram stories. You get to see the behind the scenes circus that goes on at our house with two little ones and a very hungry dog who ate 3 Lara bars yesterday.
No way.
Yes. Well, we had crying babies and a very satisfied dog yesterday. So Instagram, I'd say, and also my podcast, Thinking Like a Boss.
Perfect. And if you're tuning into today's episode, don't worry. Per usual, I will have all these links for you in the show notes. All you need to do is just head to brandstrategypodcast.com, click on today's episode, and I will make sure that you have easy access to Kate's social links, her website, and also her own podcast. And Kate, you actually have this really amazing freebie for those who are tuning in today too, where you are offering this really fun free quiz that helps them pinpoint what's holding them back from reaching that next level in business, right? Yeah. And if I remember correctly, there's also a kind of an additional fun freebie that they get when they take the quiz, yes?
Yeah. So take the quiz to figure out what might be holding you back and what's keeping you stuck. And after you take the quiz, as a thank you, you get 2 chapters of my new book, Thinking Like a Boss.
That's amazing. I definitely will be taking advantage of that myself just to go ahead and get started on those first two chapters and read more about your own experience. And I am just so grateful that you shared this with us today, Kate. Again, if you're tuning in, all you need to do is just go to brandstrategypodcast.com, click on today's episodes, and the show notes will include the link straight to that quiz as well. But Kate, thanks so much for coming on the show, for hanging out with me, and for talking about this big, beautiful concept of making intentional and big decisions.
Thank you so much. This was wonderful.